Hey, good evening. Sorry, I probably speak a little louder than everyone else. My wife tells me I don't really need a microphone, but thank you very much. This is my third year of being invited to speak here, and I really, really appreciate it. I love things like this. I got saved at 15, and, nice. I like that. I got saved at 15, but I never got an opportunity to go to a youth camp. The church where I got saved was a very small rural church, and we weren't really connected to too many other churches, and so I never got to go to youth camp. But we had a lot of youth events at our church, and so I know how powerful those were and how much they affected my life, so I know that this can be a great time for you, right? And I'm excited that I get to speak on the first night. And that the theme is welcome to the family. That is ironic because the message I have for tonight really fits that theme. So that's exciting. I did not know that was the theme somehow, but I'm glad I didn't know. This way it just works out. The first year that I spoke, which would be 3 years ago, I don't remember. Was it on a Friday night? I don't know. It was later in the week, it seemed like. And I was standing somewhere about right here speaking, and a bird gave a blessing from above right on the microphone. So I'm going to pray that doesn't happen again. All right? How many of you have never seen me before? Where you been? I'm standing right here. No. I got a question for you. I got a quick question for you before we get started. You ever notice that when a scuba diver goes into the water, he always falls backwards, or they always fall backwards? Why is that? Why did they fall backwards? Anybody know? Because if they fell forward, they'd just fall into the boat. Okay, don't worry, they don't get any better. Yeah, I thought it was funny. I like dad jokes, so I like the really dumb ones. I want to talk to you about something that we're going to have to really turn on our brain and think about. I'm going to give us, I like those sermons sometimes when you can just, you know, they just get people stirred up. This may not be one of those because you're going to have to really spend some time learning something tonight. Aren't you excited about that? But what I'm going to show you tonight is actually a tool that you can use not only for the rest of the week, but you can also use for the rest of your life. How many of you have ever struggled with your emotions? All right, all of us, right? And emotions are very powerful things. In fact, I told you I got saved at 15. When I got saved, we fellowshiped. Now, the church I got saved in, there was a lot of emotions in that church, seemed like. I mean, you know, they sang a lot of music, and we had a pretty good time. We were kind of a demonstrative church. But we fellowshiped with this other church, and they weren't very demonstrative. They were kind of reserved, and so they would, when we would fellowship with them, they would always talk about how emotions are bad for some reason. You know, you can't base your Christianity on emotions and all this, and they talk about how bad emotions were. And so I kind of grew up a little bit with the idea that, you know, emotions don't really have a place in Christianity. Well, that's just not true. Emotions have a place in everything you do in life. Everything you do in life, if you don't have an emotional attachment to it, you probably aren't going to like doing it. How many of you have an emotional attachment to mowing the yard? One guy. Okay, maybe two. Right? And I do too. I love mowing the yard. I love how you got a scraggly looking yard, and then all of a sudden it's nice and clean. I love that. That's so cool. But anyway, I digress quickly. Most of us don't like doing things we don't have an emotional attachment to. How many of you have a younger sister? Okay. Do you like having to babysit your younger sister? Okay, most of us don't. Why? Because you don't have an emotional attachment to it. You have an emotion connected to it, but it's not an attachment. Usually the emotion is anger or disgust or something like that. So we're going to talk about emotions, where they come from, what they do, and how they affect us, and how we change them when they are outside of the Scripture and the Word of God. Okay? How many of you see this T-shirt? Yes? Okay. This was provided to me by, you see that real ugly guy back there in the booth? Okay, I'm sorry, I have to narrow it down. The guy right there, his name is Shane, and this is one of my favorite words. It is a very old English word, and it means something is ridiculous or stupid or that's just dumb, okay? And it's a very old English word, poppycock. And so when they would say something was when they wanted to say something was, well, that's just ridiculous, they would say, oh, that's just poppycock. Balderdash, my friend Cecil back there, he's the guy in the tie-dye and the fedora. Isn't that a fedora? Isn't that what? No, what do they call those? A what? Panama, that's it. That's his word. He likes balderdash. But we're gonna talk about this word, and I want you to remember this word because you're going to use this word to yourself a lot this week. All right? Now, I don't want you running around telling other people they are poppycock. This is for you to use with you. Okay? And so what we have is, within Christianity, we have created a lot of things that are just poppycock. They're just ridiculous. They're wrong. They're based on unsound theology. They're not based in the Scripture. A lot of churches take all of their theology out of the Old Testament, and they don't take into account that something changed. Something changed in history that changed everything. And that something was the coming of God. God himself came and was born of a woman. She named him Yeshua, or we might say Joshua. The English, which the English translation we have comes out of the Greek, which Greek is Iasus, and in English it would be Jesus. Jesus changed everything. And we got to start operating on this side of the cross instead of the other side of the cross. You follow me? Okay. So I want to share a scripture with you today. And I know how excited you're going to be about this. How many of you have ever said amen while the preacher was preaching? Some of you? All right, don't be afraid to it. You won't die. Okay? Man, I don't know who the tall guy was that was working on this, but he's taller than me. I could almost barely see over it. All right, I got to get my glasses. When you get to a certain age, you can't see anything without the glasses, and I'm at that age. I want to read to you a scripture, 2 Corinthians. Sorry, I knocked somebody's pick off there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. You don't have to turn there if you don't want, but you can write it down for later or remember it or something like that. But I want you to go back and take a look at this. I'm going to read it first from the translation that I use mostly, which is the CSB, the Contemporary or the Christian Standard Bible. And this is what Paul was saying to the Corinthians in chapter 11, in his second letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. He said, "But I fear that, as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your minds may be seduced from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if a person comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we did not preach, or you receive a different spirit, which you had not received, or a different gospel." Have you ever heard the idea that there is a different gospel? There is. And that's the poppycock part. All right? Or a different gospel which you had not received. Now listen to what he said at the end. You put up with it splendidly. What is another word you might use if to replace that last statement? You put up with it splendidly. What would we say? You do what? Is what? I'm sorry, I'm deaf as a post. You have to talk. Yeah, or you tolerate it, right? You don't deal with it. You don't fix it. You don't challenge it. You just tolerate it. And that's what Paul is saying. He said, I have a fear that you have a different gospel and a different Jesus that's been preached to you. And you're tolerating it. Or as he said, you put up with it splendidly. Now remember that statement. Now I want to read that chapter or that verse again, those verses again, in a different translation. My wife's favorite translation is, and she's the biker chick back there in the back. Wave real big. All right, yeah, that's my wife. What's your favorite translation? The Passion. How many of you have heard of the Passion Bible? Okay, and I know some people don't like it. I don't care. They'll get over it because I like the way it says this. Listen to what it says. But now I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's clever lies, your thoughts may be corrupted, and you may lose your single-hearted devotion and pure love for Christ. For you seem to gladly tolerate anyone who comes to you preaching a pseudo-Jesus, or a fake Jesus, not the Jesus we have preached. You have accepted a spirit and gospel that is false, rather than the spirit and gospel that you once embraced. And he ends it like this. How tolerant you have become of these imposters. So we have two statements. You put up with it splendidly, and how tolerant you have become of these imposters. We're going to visit those statements in just a little bit. But I say that it is time for all of us, especially the body of Christ as a whole, to stand up and say, we will no longer tolerate another Jesus. What do you mean another Jesus? Who's preaching another Jesus? All over this country, every Sunday, pastors stand in the pulpit and teach another Jesus. What does that mean? I'll tell you what that means. Put it simply like this. Jesus took care of everything he needed to take care of the first time he came here. That would have been a good place for you to say amen. All right? He took care of it, right? Do you agree with that? When he died on that cross, he paid every price that needed to be paid. He took care of every sin. Paul even says, if you look at Paul's writings very carefully, Paul even says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. He wasn't talking about the saved. He was talking about the world. Jesus took care of all of it when he was here. And yet, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be offensive, but it's poppycock. They get up and stand in pulpits and say, you still have to do your part. You have no part in this. Jesus paid it all. All you have to do is accept the free gift. You follow me? Okay. We're not going to tolerate that, and we need to stand up and say, you know what? No longer are we going to let these statements be true. You put up with it splendidly. I don't want to put up with it splendidly. I don't want to put up with it any kind of way. I want to say to those who are telling us that we got to get saved by what we do and stay saved by what we do, I want to say to them, poppycock. That's another Jesus. That's a false gospel. How many of you know what the word gospel means? Tell me. Say it loud. Remember, I'm deaf as a post. Yeah, too good to be true. Good news. I like that. It, literally in the Greek word euangelion literally means news from the battlefield that the tide has turned and we are winning. What they would do is they would dispatch a messenger before the battle was over. So when the tide turned and this army was winning and starting to push back the other army, they said, okay, you can go ahead and run downtown and tell them we're winning. That's what the good news is. That's where it came from. That's where that understanding came from. The euangelion. It was good news. It is not good news to tell someone they have to struggle to keep this thing right. What good news is Jesus paid it all. Now, we'll get into the idea that you don't get to just do whatever you want to because, well, first of all, that just makes you offensive to everybody else around you, and that becomes your own poppycock. We want you to be part of the family. But if you separate yourselves from everyone around you by your own stupidity, it makes it hard for you to be part of the family. Amen? Okay, so what are we going to do to keep from tolerating this stuff? We're going to change how we behave by changing how we feel. How on earth do you change how you feel? I mean, isn't that just how you feel? You wake up, you feel sad. You just feel sad. Where'd that come from? I'm going to tell you. I for those of you who do not know, most of my formal education came in the form of psychology. I have my both of my postgraduate degrees are in Christian counseling and psychology. And I have studied the human brain, not physically, because, ooh, that's icky. I mean, I'm not into gray matter, right? But I've studied the workings of the human brain all of my adult life so far. And the more I learn and the more I study, the stranger it gets and the more incredible it becomes. The human brain is amazing. And I'm not talking about the physical brain. I'm talking about that mind. That, you know, the Greeks had a word, psuche. And psuche is the word we use when we created the English word psychology. So psuche meant the mind. And it included the mind, the will, and the emotions. Your thought, both your visceral and your cognitive thoughts. Now, I know those sound like really strange words, and I'll explain them. Visceral thought is thoughts based on how I feel. Now, come on, hang with me because this is going to get more interesting, I promise you. I see some of your eyes starting to glaze over. Hang on. Visceral thought is thoughts based on how I feel. Cognitive thoughts are thoughts based on facts. Now, we have to be very careful not to base our lives on what we feel. I'm not saying emotions are wrong. They're not. But we need to get them correct. Because if we have a wrong feeling and we base what we think on how we feel, we're going off in left field. We're going to be wrong. We're going to be off, right? But if we base it on fact, and Paul knew this, if we base it on fact, then we can grab a hold of that and stay with it regardless of how we feel. And Paul understood this because he said to the Romans, let God be true and everybody else a liar. Now, he wasn't saying, you go out and lie so God can be true. He was saying, if you think or feel differently than what God said, it isn't God who lied. You with me? So, we're going to let God be true. So, what God says about you is true. What you feel about you may or may not be true. But it is very important that you get those feelings to change to fit the truth. Why? Because, first of all, now listen to me, I want everybody to look up here. I know I'm not the prettiest thing you've ever seen. I get it, okay? I mean, you know the line I used to pick up my wife? I said, does this smell like chloroform? I mean, you know, I get it, but look at me, all right? Just and listen to this very carefully. You teach yourself how to treat yourself. You teach yourself how to feel about yourself. So if you think that you are less than, that's what you're going to behave like. That's how you're going to feel about yourself. That's how you're going to behave toward yourself. That's how you're going to carry yourself. That's the vibration you're going to put off to other people around you. You teach yourself how to treat yourself. That's truth number one. But truth number two, you also teach other people how to treat you. You teach them how to treat you by how you treat yourself. So if you walk around saying, you know, I'm just, all these other people, they just seem like such good Christians, and that just isn't me. I struggle, and I'm sometimes embarrassed by my behavior. You know, how many of you got a little brother? All right, look, let me ask that question different. How many of you girls have a little brother? Come on, he gets to your emotions, doesn't he? Come on, he can provoke some pretty negative emotions in you. Would you agree? Or do you have one of those little brothers that's perfect? That never annoys you? Yeah, right? Okay. How do you change how you feel about yourself? Now, we could stand up here all day long and say, hey, you need to change how you feel about yourself. Well, duh. But that doesn't really help us. That doesn't really give us the tools we need to make it happen. I'm going to show you how to change how you feel. Now, in psychology and my study of the human mind, here's what I have learned. I put this together several years ago, but here's what I've learned. Everything starts with a thought. Everything. Everything in your life has to be, you have to start it by entertaining a thought of some kind. A thought produces an image. So you have a thought, you produce this little image in your mind, you play it as maybe a little movie, or you see yourself in that thought. That thought produces an image. That image produces self-talk. You begin to talk to yourself. So let's use a specific example. Let's say that you look at yourself and you go, you know, if these other people knew how I behave sometimes, they wouldn't like me very well. I know growing up, I was very careful not to show those other young people in our youth group some of the ways I behaved when no one was around. We've all done it. Don't sit there and go, oh, they're not me. Oh, yeah, we've all done that. We hide certain things. And I did that as a youth, and so do you, I'm sure, right? But what that does is you have that thought that I am somehow less than they are. So I'm hiding certain things. I feel, you know, a little bit bad about myself, let's say. That produces an image. That image produces self-talk. That's how you talk about yourself. The self-talk then produces an emotion. Now, notice how far down the list the emotions came. Thought, image, self-talk, emotion. Nothing started with an emotion. The emotion is a byproduct of what you think. So, then once you have an emotion, that produces a behavior. That's how you act in your life. All right, does that all make sense so far? I told you it's going to get a little tedious, but we'll get to the good part here in a minute. This is just the introduction. I haven't even gotten to the notes yet. You got time? Where are you going to go? No, I won't be long. I won't be long. How about this? This will make you feel better. And in closing. Now, doesn't that feel better? Yeah. Because you think, oh, he's about done. Okay, so we got thoughts, image, self-talk, emotions, behavior. How do you change a behavior? Just walk right back through what I just said. Change the emotion. You change the emotion by changing the self-talk. You change the self-talk by changing the imagery. You change the imagery by changing the thought. Some of you don't think well of yourselves. And I want to attack that tonight and say that is poppycock. It is not real. It is not true. I know it feels real, and I know it seems true, but it isn't. because God said about you that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God said that you are His child. God said that you are a child of the King. God said, through the lips of Paul, that you are a co-heir with Christ. Think about that. Do you know what it means to be a co-heir? Co-heir? Co? Same portion? The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you. You got an equal portion with Christ, and you think you got less than something? No, that's... Thank you. Don't be afraid to shout it out when I point, okay? So, we're going to attack that. How do we change a thought? How do you change a thought? Rethink it. Yeah, but that's hard sometimes, because even if you try to rethink it, what, I got one over here now. Keep. Okay, that's good. Change your environment, what's around you, the people that you're. I mean, listen, if you're struggling with self-doubt, don't hang around people who say you should doubt yourself. What were you going to say? Change your perspective. Okay, all good, but how do we do those things? How do we rethink? How do we change our perspective? How do we change? One more over here. Be positive. How? Be positive. That's a blood type, isn't it? Talk real loud, because again. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says that we have the mind of Christ, right? Paul also said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Yes. Say it loud. Okay, that's good, and you're right, but how do we do that? Because every Sunday we hear Scripture and we walk away still doubting ourselves. How do you change what you think? See, we believe in emotions so much that we think emotions are what create the thoughts. And I'm telling you, everything I've studied says no, that's not the case. Thoughts control the emotions. But we humans are very complex. Nothing is as simple as just making some formula up like I just did and saying, there you go. No, it's not that simple. I'll tell you why. Because we are very complex. So what we do is we start with thoughts, and it produces this emotion. Let's say it's a negative emotion about ourselves. Then that emotion becomes self-perpetuating. Because we feel bad about ourselves. We feel negative about ourselves. So what do? We start generating more negative thoughts about ourselves, which produces more negative emotions, which produces negative behavior. All right, are you following this so far? So the question is, how do we change that? How do we change how we think? All these things that everybody said are absolutely 100% right, but how do we do them? Scripture is a great way to do it, but how do we do it? I mean, do we just pick out some random scripture? You know, I could. There's a verse in the King James where Paul said, you know, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Meaning what he was saying was, I don't want you to be ignorant. And boy, have we said that to people before, have we not? Well, I heard one preacher, the way he said it different. He put the emphasis in the wrong place, and he said, I would not have you ignorant brethren. Right? So we got to be careful. Scripture cannot always be our friend if it's not applied correctly. So how do we do that? I remember hearing a story one time about these two ornery boys. And they got some glue, and they glued some pages of the preacher's Bible together. Just going to see what would happen. And so the preacher got up to preach. And he opened his Bible. He said, today I'm going to preach about Noah. And he opened his Bible and he started reading. And Noah took a wife. And she was, and it came to the end of the page. He turned the page, not knowing that there were two pages glued together, so it skipped way ahead in the story. And so he read, and Noah took a wife, and she was, he turned the page, 50 cubits by 75 cubits by 150 cubits. He said, I didn't realize Noah's wife was quite that big, but it's in the scripture. Now we got to do this. We got to apply this correctly. How do we change what we think? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Yes. Oh. Well, I think we have to change how we think to change the emotion. All right. But what happens when you pick it back up? She said, lay it down at the feet of Jesus. I agree. But how do you pick, what happens? Because it's easy to pick stuff back up, right? I love you guys are answering. Sometimes I preach to youth groups and they just look at me like I'm stupid. I preached to this one youth group one time in West Virginia. And I was just giving them a hard time, making fun of how they dressed and the way they did their hair. This one guy, literally, he had this was when spike, you know, those middle spike things. And this dude was like that tall. His hair. Because that'd be weird. But he had this hair spike about that tall. And it was just, man, it was just stood straight up there and all spiky. And so after church, or before church, I was talking to him. I said, how do you get that to stay like that? I figured like a gallon of hairspray or something. No, you know what he used? Super glue. I guess that would work. But anyway, I was making fun of all of them, you know, for the way they dressed. And one of them said to me, hey, preacher, the way we dress makes a statement. And I said, yeah, that you got dressed in the dark. That's the statement it made to me. Anyway, so I'm glad you're talking to me and you're interacting. Let's get to this. Jesus actually told us how to do this. In something that he said that, first of all, I've never heard it preached on. Well, I take that back. I heard it preached on one time, and it was completely way out of context the way the preacher applied it. But Jesus said, let me find that scripture. Find my glasses first, then I'll find that scripture. So you can put this in. You can put this in your notes. In Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Listen to what Jesus said. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, now listen to me. Emotions can be a huge mountain in our life. They're hard to move. They're hard to correct. Thoughts, they start with thoughts. And those thoughts can be so rooted and grounded in our lives and so many emotional attachments to them, they can be difficult for us to get rid of. So Jesus said, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, listen, he will have whatever he says. Now, listen to this. When I read that, because I got to be honest with you, I didn't know the answer to this question. How do you change your thoughts? You try, you try to say, oh, I'm going to rethink them. I'm going to change my thoughts. I'm going to, you know, start quoting scripture. But the thoughts are still lingering there. So how do we change our thoughts? I'm going to tell you how you change your thoughts. You have to start speaking out loud to yourself. You have to say it out loud. You have to speak things. I'm talking about truth. All right, what's truth? Whose truth do we go by? Because every church has their own truth. Every preacher has his own truth. Every youth leader. I mean, it seems like everybody's got their own truth. And a lot of the times it's based on how we feel. So how do I know if that truth is being based on how they feel or how I feel versus it being true? Based on facts. All right. How do we know something is factual when it comes to this Christian thing? Okay. Now, I'm gonna help you learn something that my wife knows. Anytime I ask a question, the correct answer is, no one heard that. I didn't. If I didn't know what you were saying, I wouldn't have heard it. What? Louder. You can speak louder than that. I've heard you. Jesus. You get that? The fact is Jesus. What does that mean? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one, listen, no one comes to the Father except through me. You see, if our theology is teaching anything but Jesus and Jesus alone as your way to glory, in both in this life and the world to come, we're teaching another Jesus. So what we got to do is we got to start to speak out. If I look at myself and I go, I'm not as good as those other young people. You got to stop that thought by saying, the Bible says, say it out loud with me. You know what I'm saying? You say it out loud. You speak this stuff out loud to yourself. Because studies have shown that what you hear with your physical ears is different than just what you think in your mind. You have to speak these things out loud. Speak out loud. Jesus paid the price. I am a child of the King. I am a co-heir with Christ. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in me. And when we start speaking those things to ourselves over and over, you see, if you think less of yourself, you're not going to let yourself really be a part of the family. I mean, you will, you know, you'll say, well, I'm loosely related to them. But you're not going to get intimate with the family as long as you think you have some kind of problem that nobody else has. Let me tell you something. You haven't thought a thought that every young person hasn't thought. You haven't struggled with a stupidity that a million other young people haven't struggled with, the same stupidity. You are not unique. You are not somehow fascinating so much so that you've thought things that nobody else has ever thought. It just isn't true. I mean, I was a young person before some of your parents were born. And we struggled with the same thoughts. I struggled. I remember I got saved at 15. And man, all of a sudden I found myself feeling guilty all the time. And after about a year of this struggling with this guilt, all of a sudden I said to myself, you know what? I think I was happier before I was a Christian. And listen to what I'm going to say, what I'm saying. Hear me out all the way. I think I was happier before I got saved because back then I didn't feel guilty about nothing. I'd just do whatever I wanted to. Now I feel guilty about everything. And then all of a sudden I began to learn. Paul taught us to not see ourselves as humans, but as spiritual beings. Speak those truths out loud. And there's lots of them. 1 John 2, is it 2:1 or 2:2? Where he says that Christ is the sacrifice for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. 2:2? 1 John 2:2. 2 Corinthians 5:19. That is that God in Christ was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. And he goes on to say, he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. And he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we could be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Speak those things out loud. My wife, I'm going to use her as an example. She loves it when I do. She really does. Not so much. She's not a in front of people person. So I embarrass her a lot, but hey, she married me. When I first started teaching this to her, it didn't feel right to her. Now, my wife is an artist, a very good artist, by the way. Yeah, you know. And I mean, she's talented. But artists have a problem. They feel their way through life. Okay? And when they feel something, whoo, it's like it was written in the Bible. Okay? And she didn't feel that way. She was struggling with doubt, self-doubt, depression, that kind of stuff. And I'm teaching this stuff. No, we are the child, we're children of the King. We're children of the King. We're not paupers. How many of you know who, let me finish this thought. So when I first started saying this stuff to her, it didn't register. But then guess what happened? She started quoting it. She started saying it. And somebody would come to our little gathering. We had a gathering in our home, and they would come, and they would be struggling with these issues. And she would say the same stuff I'd been telling her that she couldn't feel, but she was saying it. And the more she said it out loud, the more it became real. Speak these things out loud. Let me show you an example of what I'm talking about. How many of you know who Prince Harry and Prince William are? You know who they are? The sons of, well, King Charles now was Prince Charles, right? King Charles of England. He has two sons, right? William and Harry. Can you imagine that those two boys grew up thinking they were commoners? Do you think they sat around going, are we really a prince? They grew up believing that they were royalty. They acted like royalty, and they got treated like royalty. Why? What was different about them than all the other children in Britain? What? They were. Yeah, let's start with the fact that it was real, okay? If the facts were, they were the children of a soon-to-be king. Okay, what are you the children of? Or should I say, who are you the children of? And I'm not talking about your parents here. Who are you the children of? Say it. Who are you the children of? God, the King. Come on. The creator of and sustainer of all the universe. You are his children. You're his offspring. Okay, so let's start with the facts. The facts are, we are the children of God. Yes? Praise God. Yeah, but that's not how I feel. Well, we can change that. Let me tell you why else they didn't grow up thinking they were commoners. Because every day of their life, from the time they were born, there were people around them telling them every single day that they were royalty. Their nannies told them that. Their maids told them that. The cooks told them that. Everybody they were around treated them like royalty. I say we start treating each other like we ought to be treating each other. You with me? We need to start saying this to each other. Well, I just don't feel. I don't care. You shut that poppycock up out of your mouth. That's not who you are. You're a child of the King. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and nothing changes that. That is what God did for us. And you start speaking those things out loud to each other, and watch how the family of God changes. We got a church here from South Dakota, right? Yeah, I met some of you over there at the table. And when you go back to South Dakota, speak those things to that church. Speak them to the adults, because I guarantee you some of those adults struggle with the same issues. Start speaking this to each other. Speak it. We got people here from Pineville and Anderson. Right? Let's go home and speak these things to our friends and our church. And to each other constantly. And when you don't feel good about yourself someday, say, okay, I know that's not based on truth, so I'm going to call up somebody and I'm going to have them tell me the truth. Because let me tell you something, it's easier for me to tell you the truth when you don't feel like the truth works, because I don't feel that way to you. So it's much easier for me to say that to you. We need to speak these things to one another every day, every single day of our lives. Now, all right, I'm going to conclude, I think. I kind of got off the notes. I don't know where I'm at here. So we'll just kind of finish. Let me say this. Remember what I said in the beginning, two statements. You put up with it splendidly, and how tolerant you have become of these imposters. I say that ends today. I say you go home from this youth camp at the end of the week, and you say, I will not tolerate imposters any longer in my life. I'm not going to let those lies teach me anything about myself. I'm going to stand with the truth. I may not feel it at first. And let me tell you something. It takes a little while for the emotions to change. Because remember, we got to go way back over here and change the thoughts. The thoughts change the imagery. The imagery changes the self-talk. The self-talk changes the emotion. And then the emotion will change the behavior. And you'll start walking around. You know, my mama, I mean, I'm so confident in this. And I speak it so confidently. You know what my mom said to me? She goes, well, there's no conceit in our family because you seem to have gotten it all. You better believe it. I am conceited when it comes to this. I am a child of God. You are a child of God. That makes me a prince and makes you a princess. And we need to start living like that. And we need to start acting like that. We need to start thinking like that. And we need to start talking to each other just like that. All right? I said I was going to finish. So I don't even know how to get out of this, but I'm going to get out of it like this. Paul was writing to the Galatians. And in chapter 5 of his letter to the Galatians, and I love the book of Galatians. It's one of those fascinating books. You know why? Because Paul dealt with this very same stuff there. Here's these Galatians who heard about a true gospel, good news. You know, it's not good news that you have to struggle. That's not good news. That's religion. Good news says you are an overcomer. You can do this. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to struggle with that. You're a child of the King. Okay? But listen to what he said. He said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. These are not your fruit. These are the fruit of the Holy Spirit that lives in you. You get me? So listen to what I'm going to say. How many of you really believe that the Holy Spirit lives within every believer? Yes? Okay. Then that fruit already resides in you. All you have to do is activate it. So if you begin to activate the Holy Spirit in your life by changing how you think, which changes how you feel, which changes how you behave, when you and I start doing that, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, meekness, self-control, all of that stuff just begins to pop out all over our life. Okay. I want are you guys the band over there? Come on back up here. I don't know what time it is, but it can't be that late. It's not even dark yet. And I got to say this. Thank you, Jesus, that it is 10 degrees cooler this year than it was last year. Woo-wee. I mean, I was going to preach on hell last year, but there wasn't any need to because it was too hot and nobody would believe it. I'm kidding. I got enough stuff to preach on about without preaching on that. But listen to me. I want you to stand with me. Join me just in a quick word of prayer, and we're going to let these guys get ready. As soon as you get ready, just start singing something. While they're getting ready, join me in a word of prayer. Father, I want to thank you for these words that should resonate in our spirits, that we are the children of God, and that if I feel anything contrary to that truth, it is not my feelings that are right, it is the truth that is right. So I challenge those things in us today, and as a family, listen to me, family, as a family, I want you to give us the boldness to ask for help from each other. So if there's someone who's in this tabernacle tonight who struggles with these thoughts, that they are not everything God made them to be, if they struggle with that, I'm going to ask you to give them the boldness to come and let us pray with them and stand with them and say, uh-uh. No, we're going to speak that out of your life. You're going to speak that out of your life because Jesus said you'll have whatever you say. So I'm going to ask our youth workers, if you would, to come down. The youth sponsors and workers, they're just going to be here to pray with you. They're not scary people. Well, some of them are, but no, they're not scary people at all. I know every one of them. Well, I know most of them. But they all look like a bunch of teddy bears to me. You know what? They're good folks. If you struggle with these thoughts, do not let what somebody else is going to think about you hold you back. You hear me? You come and let us pray with you as they sing. Just step out. Don't be afraid. Come right now and say, you know what? I want somebody to help. I want somebody to pray with me and stand with me. I want these thoughts out of my life. I want to change those emotions. And I want to start right now by letting someone pray with me. Come. Go ahead, guys.